Welcome to How She Made It, where we talk about a photo that this mama made.
Hello, and welcome to an episode of How She Made It, where we chat about all that goes on behind the scenes in the creation of a particular image and the journey of the creative process that has led us here. But first, let me introduce you to our guest today, Alex Davies. Alex is a beautiful person, a poetic soul. She's one of our past mammatography students, and after doing our beginner photography course, has since fallen in love with the medium of film, capturing the intimacy of motherhood as well as other personal projects, exploring the daily ritual of working musicians in their homes. She's also a mama to two little ones under four and a physiotherapist by training, currently working in injury management. Hi, Alex. It's so good to have you here. Last time I saw your face, it was also through a screen and you were gently shooing out your toddler out the door so I could photograph you remotely when you were pregnant at 38 weeks. What does life look like these days and how old is your littlest now?
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Life is pretty chaotic at the moment, but it's good. I'm on the tail end of my maternity leave and continually finding out ever-evolving rhythm as a family of four. Our youngest is now 9 months and he's on the move and I'm really just trying to soak in this season before returning to work.
Yes, I imagine that year of maternity leave just disappears before feels like it's even started. How has the
absolutely
year... so how has the year treated you? How have you enjoyed it or struggled or not?
I feel like this year's just, it's gone so fast in comparative to my first child's maternity leave.
Yeah.
I just feel like time goes a lot quicker. There's just so many more moving parts and it's just really kind of gone in a flash. Quite shocking, actually.
And I guess, how would you also describe the creative journey that you've been on through these, you know, years of motherhood that you've had, I guess, a couple of maternity leave stints to play with as well?
Yeah, I think initially motherhood set me into a deep personal work sort of area of time as I really grappled, I'm assuming like many, with who I was and my relationships shifting around me. As my journey continues, I have a growing contentment with who I am and my confidence in creative expression has kind of increased exponentially with that. I've always been a bit of a documentarian, so both visually and through photography or written expressions. Mm. So when I signed up for the mammatography course, it was just to really learn how to use the camera in manual mode, because it just gave me so much more control. I was really in Lightroom trying to play with these aspects and couldn't get the result I was after in the aesthetic. And to be able to do this in manual mode just really pushed that. And I was able to have a lot more creative expression. So it really kind of facilitated my long-term goal of shooting film.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to hear. Like, you know, trying to kind of, I guess, reverse engineer from Lightroom to being able to do it, you know, in your digital camera and then being able to just, you know, do it on film, I guess, even like negating the need for Lightroom even because, you know, with the film aesthetic, you kind of get to choose the film stock that you like and then, you know, discover how you like it to be processed and developed and then, you know, get a end product that always feels like Christmas to me anyway.
Yeah, that's it. It's a lot less work, but I feel like I'm definitely not a purist. I do like to, if I'm kind of going, oh, those colors are really off, I'll turn it black and white or yeah. Still play with contrast and things like that a little bit, but it's a lot less. It's definitely a really beautiful medium that doesn't need anything really to it to make it feel like magic.
I would wholeheartedly agree. And I think, you know, as a lover of film myself, knowing that these are, you know, this was one of the goals that you shared early on as you started the course, you know, to eventually shoot in film. It makes me so happy to know that you now have this confidence to translate everything that you've learned into this film format. And I just want to say, I hope you're feeling pretty proud of yourself too.
Thank you. I think it just takes someone to kind of believe in you really, doesn't it? So, you know, the mammatography course, it was just sort of that base where it was like, no, like the manual mode isn't that tricky and you guys made it just so easy to adapt and dive in and embrace it. And the same with film where my husband bought me a film camera and just was like, go, you can just try, play. And yeah, I think it can be daunting to take those steps for yourself, but when you've got that person behind you or that community behind you, it can really just push things.
Oh, I love that. I love that your husband gifted you that. And I think he didn't realize what a gift he was giving. That returns all round.
That's it.
I just want to circle back to what you mentioned before though. You mentioned about grappling with who you were as you became a mother and relationships shifting around you. Would you be able to share a little more insight into, I guess, what you're thinking or feeling at this point?
Yeah, I think particularly as a new parent, with the first baby, there's a really big internal battle with your self-identity pre and post baby. They're very different people. And there are so many hormonal, physical, mental changes going on with you as a person, and your priorities just shift naturally. And so I think it's the sort of subsequent step that your relationships sort of change around you too, as you find people that align with your new priorities and who you are as a person.
It's really a huge time of growth in so many different ways that you never expected. Sometimes hard and sometimes, you know, super rewarding. Well, the long-term game is super rewarding. It's just, going through the stages and growing through all of that too, hey.
Hey guys, it's Amy. I am just interrupting quickly to encourage you to jump on into the show notes and check out Alex's show notes page, where you can see the image that Trish and her are about to talk about. I promise it will bring joy and richness to your day, and you'll also just have a better idea about this conversation and to be able to kind of have that image in your mind while you're listening. So just do it. It'll take like 10 seconds. Cool.
Today, we're going to chat about one of the images you've made, which sang out to me when I initially saw it on Instagram. Actually, let's start there. So you have an Instagram account called @flowersthroughfences, which I absolutely love. So can I tangent for a moment, as I'm curious to know the meaning behind the name and what you initially hope to convey through the images there?
Yeah, of course. I actually began the account as an escape and a place to process all of the uncontrollable life events that were happening around me at the time. Melbourne had plunged into its second COVID lockdown, which lasted just shy of 4 months, had a missed miscarriage resulting in surgical intervention, which I had to attend alone due to the restrictions. And our eldest son at the time was around 18 months, and I had a lot of anxiety around the uncertainties of COVID and really grieved this portion of his childhood and so much isolation and things he was missing out on. So mentally, physically, and emotionally, I was just so incredibly low. We were restricted to our 5K radius, and we were just allowed out for the 60 minutes per day. And our walking loop was a familiar sort of route. It just felt like Groundhog Day every day. And so I'd notice the most minute changes in growth patterns of flowers growing through fences and began photographing them as a bit of a grounding tool. I paired the images with poetry and prose I'd written to help process thoughts and emotions. And I shared these together as a creative outlet on my Instagram page. So as that chapter sort of came to a close, I began to shift focus into other interests. And I've always been interested in the psychology of the individual and what makes them who they are. And my physiotherapy brain continually analyzes anatomy and movement. So I returned to photographing people. And the account is a creative expression. But I feel the chapter of photographing flowers through fences and associated poetry and prose has come to a close, and I'm currently working to publish it into a book.
That's really exciting. I will keep my eye out for that, Alex. But thanks so much also for just, I guess, sharing the journey, I guess, the lows and the highs, well, not quite so high, I guess, just in this kind of section. But yeah, I guess what led you to, you know, looking to find these kind of pieces of hope and I guess little moments of beauty in what you describe, despite being, I guess, emotionally wrung out through what you must have been going through at the time. It sounds like an almost therapy-like process that comes through in what you describe. And I love that it was just truly a creative outlet for the sake of creative expression at the time, and nothing more than that. I think it feels so pure and wholesome in a time where social media is overrun by everything but that. I'm thinking many people kind of resonate with just that, those feelings of Groundhog Day and the need to just find some kind of escapism or some joy in the day-to-day during those years.
That's it. I think it's just such a unique time, and, you know, looking back, would you do things differently? I don't know. I don't know if we can, but it is what it is, and you just got to find your coping mechanisms to keep your head above water, I think.
So let's move on to the How She Made It portion of our episode. So the image today we're spotlighting is not just one image, but it's actually a series of self-portraits. You can find the image on our Instagram and podcast show notes, but for our listeners who haven't yet seen the visual, it's a series of Alex in various positions on a blue velvet armchair with an array of film cameras dangling from her limb. This is not a documentary image in any way. I can see, Alex, that it has come about with much thought and intention and prep. Well, it looks like it anyway. So I'd love to hear the thoughts or the feelings that drove you to create this image.
I think these images were just created through play and exploration. I generally always am looking for things that really take my eye. And so, you know, if they light me up, I'll see if I can use them as something to build off and figure out how they were made and maybe just give a try and see if I can do something with it. So these ones were actually inspired by a clothing advertisement of a woman upside down on a chair. The various film cameras that were integrated was actually a little tongue-in-cheek, as I'd recently purchased one from someone who expressed he has a buy one, sell one rule for himself. And I asked other film photography friends if this was a common practice, of which I did receive a resounding no. So I tried to include as many as I could in the frame.
I love that. I do not have a buy one, sell one rule. I've never heard of that, but I like that he's got lofty goals.
That's it.
I want to ask, actually, the caption to that says, seeing the self, extraordinary machine. What does that mean?
Yeah, so after the mammography course kind of rounded up and I'd settled into, I guess, fourth trimesterhood with my son Theo, I ended up joining a photography group called Memory Cult, which is just the most out-of-the-box creative inspiration monthly project, push everything that I could have dreamed. It's phenomenal. And so we had monthly, or at the time it was weekly, self-portrait prompts. And one was the extraordinary machine, which was this one, and the incorporation of the cameras into that portrait as well.
Oh, I love that. It's got so many layers to it. It's, yeah. I think you've executed that beautifully.
Oh, thank you.
So for the practical minds among us, can you share how you've set this up?
Yeah, of course. So our balcony has the most beautiful direct light in the mornings. So I pulled the rocking chair outside, set up the film camera on a tripod, manually set the focus and the shutter speed, and I just left the aperture on auto to account for error at that point, or any cloud sort of coming over or whatever. So then I pulled the lever and set the 10-second timer, ran back, flipped myself over the chair and attempted to present all the other cameras in some kind of nice, easy, relaxed way. So I ended up integrating other poses, as I just didn't have any feedback as to whether it was working or if it was in frame or what was going on. And I only took the 5 images because it's film, and if it's not working, I didn't want to sort of use up more. So I was pretty surprised and relieved that they actually worked out. So I would really love to repeat this with someone pressing the shutter, or just a large mirror or something, just to give me more control and a little bit more time and take that pressure off.
Yeah, the 10-second timer is nothing. And I think 5 out of 5 with that kind of setup. And now that you say that it's a rocking chair as well, like I just imagine that if I tried, I'd have dropped a camera or I would have fallen off the chair myself. So round of applause for that. And I also really love the way the colors come out through this image as well, and that you've captured like the direct light in a, I guess, in the magical way that film can, where the highlights don't completely blow out or everything, and everything just looks really still gentle despite the light that's coming it down onto it. So yeah, well done. I love hearing that. That was cool. I guess on the broader scale of things, what do self-portraits mean to you?
They're really quite multifaceted. For me, it's self-care and time invested in myself. I can really look at myself objectively and play with positioning, composition, not only as a creative outlet, but to also just see myself and appreciate my body in a new way. Looking at shapes and, you know, the light and what it looks like. But, you know, you can take that away from, it's separate from societal conditioning of what my body should be for someone else. So really personalize it. And I also look at them as a bit of a legacy, documenting an honest representation, and insight into who I am for my children as they grow. We're in an era where, you know, as parents, we've got our phones at our fingertips. We take selfies and it's just our face in a certain moment perceived how we want to. Shows one side of our persona, and as well as filters, it's kind of what is the reality of who we are in this generation, in this time. So I think it's a really beautiful opportunity to sort of present ourselves as we are in that moment, in that time, honestly. And it's, I guess, self-portrait is also a really beautiful way to, and a great opportunity just to experiment with the camera in a low pressure environment and play and just push and pull and see, you know, what you can get out of different colors and contrasts. Without it having to be anything, it's just play.
I love that. I think, you know, I've been thinking about how much we kind of undervalue play as adults. As children, it's our all day, every day, and you think nothing of it. And then somewhere along the way, adult happens and we lose it somewhere along the way. So it's just so beautiful to hear, I guess, of how play weaves itself into self-portraiture, but also everything that you shared about the societal conditioning, about wanting to actually leave something that's honest to your children. Cause I can't imagine, you know, kids just you know, looking back through old drives of photos, if that's what they're going to do 20 years from now, I'm not sure how they're going to see them, but and just seeing this kind of filtered, one-sided view of who we are that is not actually true, and how that would then, how they would then process that as well. So this is, yeah, what you're saying is, you know, really meaningful and really important.
I was going to say, no, I'm not sure about you, but when I go through old photo archives of myself as a child, I'm continually looking for my parents as when they're involved in a moment and it was, you know, not taken when someone's gone, say, you know, cheese or smile or, you know, or even if it's of children and they're in the background just doing whatever they're doing. And I think it's a really beautiful gift, just an insight into who they were at that time and who they are and those quirks that make them who they are.
And in light of just society and history as well, like, you know, the documentation of what everyday life actually looked like, and not just that's the parts it. That you want to show kind of thing. So no,
that's it.
It's just so important, I think, to leave that honest legacy for your family and for your children. And yeah, I think just that gift of one day them having ownership of them and being able to just enjoy them in their own time as well.
Hey Trish, we are just going to pause this episode for a minute and let everybody know about our lovely podcast sponsor, LoveJK. Now, you might have seen them around on Insta, and for good reason. They make the most beautiful things. Think frame prints, photo collages, incredible gallery walls that I'm really excited to get in my house very soon, personalized greeting cards, wrapping paper, art prints, photo blocks, and so much more.
And guys, I've checked them out. These aren't just your everyday printers either. LoveJK are an Ilford master printer. They print on Canon ProGraph printers, which pretty much means that they're the real deal. And as professional photographers, just know that this means a lot. All their frames are handmade locally in their studio in Melbourne, which ensures incredible quality, and they also offer a 100% love guarantee. LoveJK would be an amazing place for gifts for grandparents,
for yourself,
Christmas and birthdays,
all the things. So scope them out on Insta at LoveJK Australia.
And Amy, you forgot the most important bit.
Oh, yes, that is right. They are generously giving all our listeners 15% off with the code MAMATOGRAPHY.
That is M-A-M-A-TOGRAPHY, and you'll need to use this at the checkout.
So get onto it.
Can I ask you to tell me a little bit more about your personal projects and I guess what creativity does for you as a mum in this season of life that you're in right now?
Yeah, I have a few personal projects sort of on the go at the moment. For me, I think it feels really good to compartmentalize a train of thought and follow it through with some structure. So they're all shot on film at the moment, which feels really raw and intentional and grounded for me personally. So Tea and Trumpets was my initial project. It was a series attempting to peel back the layers of the performer identity, revealing the everyday rituals of five musicians in their home. I wanted to know who these people really were away from the harsh stage lighting and the performer ego. And I'm so grateful these people allowed me into their homes and truly let me see them. At the moment, I have two ongoing projects. One is titled Through His Eyes, in which I photograph my eldest son, who's just turned 4, taking pictures of things he really wants to remember on his disposable camera. And I record them side by side. So my images are in black and white on film and his are in the color. And I don't touch his images. What they are is what they are. I don't push him or prompt him. It's just the only thing I've told him is what photograph what you want to remember. So it's just really nice to see the world through his eyes and his perspective. And the second one at the moment is The Realities of Now, which is a daily visual diary and accompanying writing sort of written journal of our daily life. So it's usually little mundane things and routine or thoughts and emotions that I'm trying to process into writing. I think it's a really unique season at the moment, and I just really want to remember these things. So to have that sort of documented is really important to me. So hoping to do this for the final 3 months of my maternity leave and have it a bit of a keepsake.
Yeah, they sound like really beautiful projects, and I love that you've, I guess, taken the time to define these goals, like when you actually have the time to execute them and that you're committing to them and knowing that it's something that really fills your bucket. I guess being a mom as well, they also seem to be achievable because you've chosen projects where your son is actually a really important part of it, but in a way that you don't have to, I guess, ask or demand anything of him. I think that's really beautiful. And I guess the fact that choosing to do these little things, it just shows that these little things eventually go a really, really long way.
Yeah, when you're saying like it just involves your children and it's it is, it's kind of, that is my day-to-day life and that is what I'm, you know, inspired by and that is what's happening around me. And I want to document these little quirks of children growing. And so I guess, you know, it's only natural that a project would likely lead that way at this point in time. Yeah.
That's so achievable as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's it. Just camera on the table or on a shelf and it's always there. You're not having to dig through things to find it. And, you know, kids are just happen to be doing something that's important to them and you want to remember that that's important to them. And so, you know, you move around them to make it, you know, art and take the photo, keep it.
I think that's important in itself to learn how to do that or to just have that perspective. You know, it's really hard. Like I think as a mom, you can see, you know, oh, this is mundane and this is just life and I just have to get through it and then I can pursue creativity. But no, I think what you're saying is, you know, find the moments within the day-to-day to make creativity happen or to for yourself, find that creativity within the here and now. And I think that's what, you know, gives life.
Absolutely. They're just incredible. I think, you know, we learn so much from our children. They learn a bit from us, but we learn so much more from them, just the way they see the world. It's a really beautiful gift. I feel this season has fueled creativity. Nothing opens your mind and heart more than motherhood, especially that first year, which turns everything you thought you knew on its head. I think having a creative outlet fills my cup and gives me such a sense of self. It's just so necessary.
Yeah, I think the way you talk about these creative projects almost sounds like self-care, you know, in this season of motherhood. I mean, you know, we know self-care is having a night off, spending time with friends, going to the gym, having a facial or a massage. Although when I have a massage, I fall asleep and then I wake up and I'm like, oh, I just missed it. But anyway, but I think as moms though, we really underestimate the value of a creative pursuit as self-care. And truly it's kind of self-investment too. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Like photography, framing and ideas are something I think about throughout the day, all day, every day. It just lights me up and it would be a disservice to myself to not follow that lead and that passion.
And I feel like, you know, your training is in, I guess, not so much a creative area. And so this, you know, the pursuit of creativity really kind of fills your cup. But I just wanted to add for those of us, I guess, like myself who work in a creative field, but it's kind of your full-time job, I just wanted to give you a reminder that, well, the reminder of the value of personal projects, for nothing else, but for the sake of creativity and creative expression alone, like just not forgetting the time to invest in what you want to create because, yeah, I think it just gives back more than you realize to your work and to life as well. So for the mums listening who long to dip their toes into a creative pursuit, do you have any advice for them to take away?
Just do it. Dive in, play with absolutely no expectation. Just give it a go.
And I would add that in doing so, you might just surprise yourself. Alex, from the creative process born out of finding beauty and hope through COVID restriction walk and then via a journey of becoming confident in using your camera through our beginner photography course, you now have a whole host of amazing offerings, predominantly these really thoughtful 35mm film sessions for families, artists, creatives, or anyone really behind who usually sit behind the camera and who would like to be seen. So looking back on when you started this journey with photography, did you expect to be here doing what you were doing, documenting for yourself and for other families and creatives in this way? How does that make you feel?
I feel so grateful. I've always had a camera in hand. I was the kid at house parties and music festivals, taking photos of people going and moving around, and I always wanted to capture movement and people in their natural state. So I think it's always been a bit of an interest, but never did I feel that I'd be invited to other people's homes or sharing work publicly. It was always a personal thing. So I guess this is the beauty of the internet and a supportive community in the age that we're in. So I'm just so incredibly grateful for the trust people have placed in me.
And I would say also, you know, just by you pursuing these pursuits or these creative pursuits and doing this work that you do now share, you are also gifting so many other people, you know, by your Tea and Trumpets project. I'm assuming those musicians were just stoked, you know, seeing the final images on their end because they probably see new things in a new way because of your eyes. Same with families and motherhood who've had the honor of being on the other side of your lens. So yeah, it goes both ways.
The beautiful feedback that I have had is just, I guess, particularly with the musicians, that when they are in photo shoots, there's an expectation of them. And had this beautiful feedback from one of the musicians saying it was the first time she felt that the images were her and that she felt truly seen and as herself rather than something that was projected or perceived onto her. So that was the most beautiful compliment I think I could receive.
Yeah, that is so. I feel in a similar way, I guess, when families tell you that, oh, you know, you've really captured the essence of my daughter's personality or us as a family. Like it's really high praise, I feel. Like it's a really
absolutely.
It's really great to be able to receive that kind of feedback. Alex, it's been really so good to have this chat. Thank you so much for your time. If you want to be inspired by more of Alex's work or have your day brightened by visual gifts of flowers through fences or to keep an eye on this upcoming book or follow along on any of her creative pursuits or even book Alex in for a session, can you share where we might be able to find you, Alex?
Yeah, Instagram is probably the best place to find me and my handle is at flowers through fences. Reach out and say hello. Thank you so much, Trish.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure to talk about all of this with you. And I hope that it's also inspired our listeners to spend some time in the pursuit of creativity for themselves.
Well, wasn't that a beautiful episode? I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I'm making a mental list of the personal projects that I want to start just to see where it takes me, just for my creativity. Thank you so much, Trish and Alex, for just putting so much thoughtful and intentional energy into this conversation. I feel like it's going to be a really encouraging one for a lot of parents in our community. So thank you. And I also just wanted to mention that if there is anyone listening that wants to get started in photography and learn how to document your kids, then Trish and I have put together a free 5-day mini photo course just for that purpose. So it's a great little taster to dip your toes into and see if it's for you. So you can just jump on our website. It's mumatography.co and you'll see that at the top of our page on our website. But basically it's just 5-minute lessons delivered to your inbox over 5 days. We hope it is super helpful. Have an amazing week and we will see you next episode.